We are now going to hear from the Word of God, and Beryl is our reader. Thank you very much.
The reading is taken from Romans chapter 15, beginning to read from verse 1. We who are strong in the faith ought to help the weak to carry their burdens. We should not please ourselves. Instead, we should all please our brothers for their own good, in order to build them up in the faith. For Christ did not please himself. Instead, as the scripture says, the insults which had heard at you have fallen on me. Everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us, in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which the scriptures give us. And may God, the source of patience and encouragement, enable you to have the same point of view among yourselves by following the example of Christ Jesus, so that all of you together may praise with one voice the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then for the glory of God, as Christ has accepted you. For I tell you that Christ's life of service was on behalf of the Jews, to show that God is faithful, to make his promises to their ancestors come true, and to enable even the Gentiles to praise God for his mercy. As the scripture says, and so I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing praises to you. Again it says, rejoice, Gentiles, with God's people. And again, praise the Lord, all Gentiles. Praise him, all peoples. And again, Isaiah says, a descendant of Jesse will appear. He will come to rule the Gentiles, and they will put their hope in him. May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in him, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We have the privilege of coming to the Lord's table in just a few moments, and what I want to give you as we anticipate the new year is a verse. And the verse comes from the reading that we had earlier. It's slightly different from what Beryl brought to us from the New International Version. And if we can just see the verse, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you're game. I'd love us to read that together. Let's say it as, and I'll expand on it in a few moments, but it would just be good for us to say these words as a prayer for us, as a prayer for our church in this new year. Let's say it together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sorry about the lack of the of, but the God of hope. What I love about the message of hope is that it is something that is rooted in experience. This letter was written, as you know, to the church in Rome, and that in itself is encouraging, isn't it? It must have been incredibly tough to be a Christian in Rome. Just bear in mind things like the fact that Christianity was a new religion. There therefore wasn't a lot of experience around. There weren't people who'd been leaders for many years. There wasn't even a lot of understanding of what the Christian faith was all about. So these were early days of the faith in a very hostile environment. Rome was not friendly to Christianity. The emperors varied from one another, but some of them were violent against Christians, but none of them were particularly friendly. We do know that a number of Christians. We don't know what the quantity was, but we do know that Christians were regularly thrown to the lions as part of the sport of the city. That was one thing we know. We do know that some Christians were burnt as martyrs, human martyrs, as torches to light the way into Rome. We don't know exactly what the scale of this was, but it wouldn't have to happen often, would it, to really put the wind up the congregation, even if it was only one dearly loved leader of 5 years ago. You know, in that context, Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Which is a wonderful thing to pray, isn't it? He's not just saying, "I hope that you'll have enough hope to keep you going. It's tough going, but may you have just enough hope so that you'll hang in there whatever happens." It's not what he's saying. He's saying, "May you overflow with hope." The Good News Bible just had the expression "grow in hope." The Greek is quite clear. It's the verb to overflow, to pour too much water into a vessel for it to flow over. That's God's vision for us, that we should be people who overflow with hope to those around us. In that reading, on a number of occasions, Paul points to the Old Testament. And he says, you know the way in which people have often thought that Jesus came for the Jews. Jesus just came for the Jewish people. Paul says, you read the Old Testament properly, and you'll find that Jesus didn't. That the Messiah was not just to come for the Jews. The hope of the Old Testament was hope for the Gentiles as well. It's for the whole world. It's very easy, isn't it, when we come to church to think about almost as if there's something special about us, that we have come apart and this hope is just for us. It's not so. This hope is for the whole of Newbury. It's for all the people we work with. It's for all the people at our schools and colleges and workplaces, for the people up our roads and avenues and groves and wherever we live. This hope is for all. Before we come to the table, I just want to say three specific things about this hope. The first thing is that this hope is definite. This is a really important point to make, because normally when we use the word hope, we've got a maybe in our voice. We hope it will be a lovely, bright, sunny day tomorrow, but we hope it, and it's a sort of, you know, it's a wish. We'd love to think it might be so. Or I hope that a particular relative will turn up on Thursday of this week. Or I hope this particular relative will not turn up on Thursday of this week. You know, it's a maybe, isn't it? And you can fill in the gap for yourself. But it's a maybe. When we talk about hope in the New Testament, there's no maybe about it. Donald Coggan, writing about hope, says in normal use, the word hope is a weak and flabby word. I quite like that. In the New Testament, it's specific. It's rooted in the fact that Jesus died on the cross and on the third day rose again. It's a definite hope. It's something on which we can rely. It was great to sing Cornerstone amidst all the different imagery used there. It referred to the anchor that we have. We read of this in Hebrews. An anchor that is both sure and steadfast. Nothing is more important than this, as we go into this new year, that we have an anchor. Amidst all the changes of life and the total unpredictability of life, we need to know we've got an anchor that is just there for us. As you'll know, I'm supporting the church at Caversham at the moment, which is a beautiful privilege, and I'm loving doing that. Just a fortnight ago, the daughter-in-law of our church secretary, who I'm obviously very close to, Sam, was on her way home from work, perfectly fit and healthy in her 30s, no problems at all medically that she'd ever had. Has a headache, very wisely pulls into a filling station, to a garage. She explains the fact that she's got a headache. She was rushed immediately, blue-lighted into the Royal Barks. Immediately they saw it was beyond them, and she was blue-lighted into the John Radcliffe, the Radcliffe in Oxford, where she has been ever since. She had an aneurysm, bleed on the brain. One of her arteries to the brain had severed. Suddenly, we're in a completely different situation. You can imagine, as we all have been through these times, we've been hanging on the news from day to day of what's happening with Sam. She is doing pretty well, but I just use it as an illustration of how life suddenly and completely changes. What we need to know, because none of us are exempt from these things, is have we got an anchor? An anchor that will hold us, whatever the storm, whatever the problem, whatever the challenge. The hope that we meet in Christ is definite. Secondly, and I need to go here, this hope that we have in Christ is dynamic. It leads us on a journey. You have to conclude that from Paul's experience of ministry. He's constantly on the move. He's constantly finding new places to share the gospel. Whatever the dangers, whatever the difficulties, he was determined to give of his best to God, to go on this dynamic journey. The reason I need to say this is it could sound that we could just sit back with our nice definite hope, sit back in an armchair and just enjoy that sense of general well-being. We're okay for time and eternity. We can go to sleep on it. Paul was constantly on the move, constantly seeking to spread the good news of the kingdom of God. Look around this country and you won't be surprised to find that all the institutions, whether you're looking at hospitals, schools, colleges, caring services, they've all been founded by Christians. It's the story, isn't it? You go back, often through many centuries, you'll find they began with Christians. And I'm delighted that in our world today, Christians are still in the forefront of seeking to bring dynamic change. Why? Because we have a God of hope. A God of hope not just for us, but for the society in which we live. We heard in the Christingle service, 3.5 million children living in poverty. 3.5 million people, children living in poverty in this country, this wealthy country. How embarrassing is that? As you all know, I'm acutely aware of the statistic. There are 1.5 million people in this country who have a learning disability, who have an intellectual disability which cannot be cured, it can't be treated with drugs, or it is a disability. And they need our protection, and they need our support, and they need our advocacy. That's the society which we live in. I stumbled across this statistic as well. There are 9.2 million people in this country who have a criminal record, which is incredibly difficult for people with a criminal record to get employment. The levels of unemployment amongst ex-offenders is huge. Or look at the loneliness in this country. The biggest disease in our society, I suggest to you, is loneliness. Twice the number of people live alone now as did 40 years ago. I'm just knocking at doors here. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying we live in a needy society. We're not living in a society that's cured all its ills. And we are called to make our response to this dynamic hope. A final word. This hope is directed. This word is not saying to us, we now need to go out and think of something to do here, there, or everywhere. It's about saying we need the Holy Spirit of God to guide us on this journey, to lead us, to where he wants us to go. And he will lead us. And he will strengthen us as we go forward. One wonderful blessing we have is we know where we are going. On this journey, it's not a matter of mystery. We have the security of knowing that our lives are in God's hands now and for eternity. For many of us, and certainly for me, one of the most moving moments in the life of this church in this last year was the death of Denise Lawton. Somebody whose death was particularly powerful, I think, because of her very vivacity. She was, for those of you who weren't with us, she was full of life right till her funeral, I tell you. She contributed something to the funeral, which was just pure Denise and quite extraordinary, but just full of life. And what was wonderful in knowing Denise and knowing of the wretched way in which her life came to an end was she was always clear about the hope that she had, always clear. When I met with her family, they were absolutely clear that she knew of the hope that she had in God. And that's what we celebrated and truly celebrated when we met here in that extraordinary service to celebrate her life. Her hope was definite. It was certainly dynamic. It was directed. As we come to the table now, we come to thank God for his perfect provision for us, to thank that we have this great hope which will inspire us and strengthen us as we go forward into the new year. So if we supply the word of, which I omitted, we'll say this verse together. May the God of hope. Let's say it together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Father, we do pray this prayer for one another. We thank you so much for one another. We thank you for all the people who are part of this congregation. Lord, we are few in number today, but we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We think of all those hundreds of people who associate with us within Newbury Baptist Church. And we pray that as we look to the future, we may be filled with your hope. That knowledge that we have, that this hope is definite, totally reliable, will fill our hearts. That by your Spirit, we will allow your dynamic hope to lead us. And day by day, we may have the joy of knowing that you are directing us in the way you want us to go. Lord, hear our prayers and bless us now as we pray that we may step into this new year inspired by you, our God of hope. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.